When I was thinking of what I might say tonight, I find myself drawn to these words that you find for the title of the choir tonight, Tell the World Jesus is Born. And I thought, well, that would be a good thing to think about, right? Tell the world that Jesus is born. And when I thought about those things, it came to my mind, for instance, that's why we read Isaiah chapter 9 about to us, a child is born, to us a son is given. It's those little words, to us, that are important. And in the context, of course, of Isaiah's prophecy, to us is the people that Isaiah is writing to. Not only that, but when Kyle read the second passage, the shepherds that are in the field who are the recipients of that angelic choir, you remember all the angels singing glory to God in the highest and peace on the earth and so on, that when the angels had heard, when the angels had sung and the shepherds had listened to them, the shepherds said among themselves, this is what they said, let us go and see this thing that has happened. Let us go and see. And of course, the shepherds are speaking about themselves. Let us go and see. So I thought, well, here are two passages in Scripture that are directed to people. To people who would pay attention to something that was promised them 800 years in the future in the Isaiah prophecy. To us a child is born, a son is given. So the prophecy is made 800 years before Jesus is coming into the world, that Jesus was coming into the world. Then Jesus is born, and the angels bring that angelic message, and the shepherds listen, and the shepherds hear. Then I thought, okay, now how do I put that, thinking of that, into what was sung tonight? Tell the world Jesus is born. Now, you know, being a student of Scripture, I like words. And the Bible is full of words. You can't escape the words, right? So I thought, all right, here are words to think about. The first word is the word tell. Tell the world Jesus is born. The word tell. That is an annunciation, a proclamation, a declaration. And the question arises then, who should we tell? And of course, the answer is given right in the phrase, tell the world. But that phrase, or that word, tell, is important because it involves a proclamation. A proclamation that always takes place, by the way, every time the Bible is opened, every time you tell someone that Christ is real and Christ is promised in the Scriptures and Christ came. Every time you teach someone, every time you share the gospel, the good news with someone, you are making a proclamation that is a proclamation of good news. You are declaring something that is fundamentally biblical and sound, that has been promised by God, that is riveted to the character and nature of God. That the God who cannot lie is the God who has said to us to go and to tell these good news, these good tidings and so on. So it is a proclamation. It is a public proclamation. That's what I'm doing tonight, right? It's a public declaration of the truth of the gospel, of the truth of Jesus. In other words, the gospel is not something to be tucked away and hidden away in secret. The gospel is something to be talked about. The gospel is something to be shared. How else did the gospel spread in the world? The gospel meaning the good news about Jesus. The gospel is not to be found in the church. The gospel is to be found in this declaration by God that God has made over centuries of time, putting it together, and you have this message that Christ was promised, Christ would come to save people in their sins and from their sins. So it is a declaration. It is an annunciation, just like the shepherds are told by the angels that a Savior has been born this day in the city of David. It's good news of great joy. And they decide when they hear this annunciation, when they hear the chorus of the angels, that they themselves would go and see what God has revealed to them. And you know, I thought to myself, okay, I'm far removed from the shepherds. I'm 2,000 years away beyond the shepherds. How does that speak to me today on this day, Sunday, in the 21st century? How does this message apply to me? Well, it's one thing for the shepherds. It's one thing for those people who lived so long ago, who had this book and this Bible, who were of Israel and Jews of old, that they had this Old Testament and then the New Testament as we have it. How does that mean and apply to me? Well, the first thing I thought about is, you know, I heard the word. I heard the gospel. I heard the gospel many times. I heard the gospel preached over and over again when I was a little boy. I listened to it. I heard the story. I knew that there was truth in what I heard, yet I had not accepted and believed the truth as I listened to it. Until one day, the preacher just simply pointed out and said, "You must be born again." And I knew in that moment that I was ruined, that I was broken by my sin, that I was headed for judgment and the wrath of God because of my sinfulness, because of my condition. But I heard the declaration. I heard the preaching. I heard the proclamation. That is the same for many of us tonight, right? We testify tonight that we heard an annunciation of the gospel, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing the word of Christ, the word of God. That's how we know that we have come to know Him. We have believed this word that has been told us. So it is an annunciation. Tell. Tell. The second word is an application. Well, who should I tell? Tell the world. Well, why the world? Is it because the world is nice and no, the world is rotten. The world is sinful. In fact, we are in the world. We are included in the world. This message is for every single person who has always lived, who has ever lived. It is a message that has come to tell the world of Jesus, who came to save sinners. It is the world because the world is sinful. The world is guilty. The world is culpable of a crime against God that God cannot just pass over. Man has broken loyalty, has broken responsibility and obedience to the living God. Adam did it in the garden, and every descendant of Adam does exactly the same thing, right? We sin. And you know, we sin without knowing it. We sin naturally. It is natural to us. It is as natural as you breathe. You sit in your home every day, you take in the air, you think your thoughts, you do that without even really cognizant of it, that you are just doing it. Yet you are doing those things. Sin is as natural to you and to me as that is. Without even thinking about it, I am sinful. Without even thinking about it, I practice sin. I was born in sin. I was guilty from birth. That is what the Bible teaches. That is why this is a message of good news. Because I can do nothing, right, to deliver myself and save myself from such a condition. I need something. What is that something? Is not that what we have here, this great announcement? Jesus is born. Jesus is born. Tell the world, because the world needs to hear, because the world is lost just like we were lost, and have come to believe and have faith in Jesus. Tell the world that Jesus is born. Now, usually when we talk about the gospel, right, we talk about Jesus died. But the point of it is that in order to die, Jesus must be born. And so it is the beginning, if I can put it like that, of the good news. That Jesus, who is born, was born not just to live a holy life and then everything is good and he passes from the scene and off we go and life carries on. No, Jesus was born to die specifically for the sins of men and women. For your sins, because we're all guilty. We're all culpable. We're all under the wrath of God. You can't escape the wrath of God unless you're in Christ. So Jesus alone is the Savior. So is not this message that we proclaim the only good news worth proclaiming and listening to? That Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And He actually, by dying on the cross, has secured redemption and salvation. That is the gospel. The church cannot save us. In fact, your good works, and you think you are a good person, and you think you have done good deeds, but the Bible says, God says, that there is no one who is good. It is remarkable that people still wish to say that they do good things and that they are good people when God says the exact opposite. Now, who would you believe? You would believe God, because God is defined as truth itself. So God testifies that you are guilty, that you are headed for judgment, unless you are in Christ, His beloved Son. And so the gospel is the deliverance, the power of the gospel is to set us free, to save us from ourselves and from our sins. Because all our good works are as what? Filthy rags. We are unrighteous. God says, there is no one who is good. There is no one who understands. And it's remarkable how many people are trying to do many good things in order to be saved, and they cannot do them. In fact, how would you know that they're good? How would you know that what you do is actually good? What would be your standard of goodness? What would be your standard of the truth? To know that what you are thinking about is actually right. How would you know that it's right? How would you know the truth unless God showed you the truth and revealed it to you? And the only way God does that is through the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing this word of Christ, this word of God. So, it is all these things, isn't it? And that's the phrase, tell the world Jesus is born. Leading to the cross, right? Because the birth of Jesus is so that Jesus can die. Not just live a good example and be a nice life and show you how to live. Way beyond that, to actually save you from your sins. To save you from yourself. To save you in your sinful condition. That's the good news. So Jesus is born so that Jesus can die. But not stay dead. Right? It's just the birth of Jesus leads to the cross, leads to the resurrection, leads to the exaltation of Christ, from where in heaven Jesus shall come again with such great power and glory to save His people, take them home. Amen. And at the same time to bring wrath and judgment on those who know not the Son. So it is important that you understand these truths, because God is true and God cannot lie. And so what God has revealed in His Word is the truth. This is the message to be received. Then I thought, okay, there's one final little word that I've added. Okay? I think it's on the back side, on the back of the bulletin. I put it there. It says, go tell the world Jesus is born. What is your responsibility? What is the motivation for us? Our motivation is to live, to reveal, to declare, show forth this gospel, this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and share it. Tell others. Tell your family. Tell your loved ones. Tell everybody. Share the gospel. Share the good news. You do it by your life. You do it by your words. But tell them. Share it. Because the message is to be revealed and or communicated and to be shared. And so tonight, you've heard the choir sing about Jesus is born. Go tell it on the mountain. Yes, go tell it everywhere, right? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now I want to ask you a question. Some of you are here and I don't know you tonight. Some of you are young children, 12 years old maybe, 13 years old. What are you doing with your life? Are you throwing it away? What have you done so far in response to what God has given to you to let you live 12 years? 30 years, or maybe 90 years. God has given you 90 years. What have you done with those years? What will you do with what remains? Because time is short. I can assure you that 12 years, 90 years is just a fleeting moment in time, is it not? And what is done for Christ counts, and what is done for Jesus lasts. And so Jesus calls us tonight to repentance and to faith and to belief in the good news in the gospel. And that's why we share it tonight in song, in the hymns that we sung, because every time you sung those words, you've been testifying to the truth of this word and the gospel. So I call upon you tonight to turn from your sins if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I call upon you to repent of your sins, to come to Christ, to know that if someone were to ask you, I can testify to the saving power of the gospel in my own life, that it has transformed me, that I have been born again of the Spirit of God, born from above, not because of the church, not because I think I'm better than others or I'm a good person, a nice person. No, because the gospel says Jesus came to save sinners. And that's what He does. He saves us by mercy, by grace, and by His great love and His death for us on the cross. So I invite you to think seriously about these things. This is Christmas time. Sometimes it's a time when these serious thoughts are out of our minds because we're taken up with so many other things. Do not let it pass by this Christmas without a serious thought for Jesus Christ and for the gospel and what it means. May the Lord help us to do that. All right, our final hymn is 277. 277, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Then I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to share some refreshments together. And so please stay behind and enjoy that. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll sing all three verses. We'll remain seated as